This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Australia's favourite Minister for Equality, Martin Foley, and I believe he's on the line. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning, Taz. Good morning, Macca.
How are you going, Martin?
Good, thanks.
You've had a busy week?
I acknowledge you as elders of the LGBTIQ community.
Thanks for that. It makes me feel really old. Martin, it's been an amazing week because you've put out two media releases related to our communities this week. One on Thursday and one on Friday, and each one came action-packed with $500,000 worth of investment into our communities for a whole range of projects. The first one essentially supported things like Switchboard, Drummond Street, Headspace, an Aboriginal community-based LGBT group, the Victorian Pride Centre. You've got a little bit up your sleeve in reserve, I see, as well. And in the second media release, you supported the parents of gender-diverse children, the Parenting Research Centre, and, of course, the most important longitudinal study in our community, which is private lives. So it's going to get oxygen for a third wave of research, which is fantastic. What's really interesting to me, though, is that the framing of the first media release was very much around providing support that might occur as a result of damage from the plebiscite. So will the plebiscite go ahead, Minister? What do you know there? Is this something that we haven't been told by your colleagues in Canberra?
Well, when you say my colleagues in Canberra, I'm sure you mean parliamentary colleagues rather than political party colleagues. I think the budget papers speak volumes from the Commonwealth Government. They've set aside a substantial amount of money to run a plebiscite. Now, they then back that up by saying they don't have immediate plans to do so. Well, there is a lot of money set aside in the federal government's current planned budget that is for running a plebiscite.
And so $170 million still sits. $170 million still sits.
That is just a vote. Sorry, Taz, what was that?
$170 million still sits in the federal budget, but there is no plan to do anything with it.
Well, politics moves very quickly at times, and to send a message to the entire Australian community that you are setting aside a substantial amount of money, $170 million, to essentially conduct a Liberal Party opinion poll on an issue that can only be damaging and divisive for the LGBTI community is something that we have to be prepared for. So we've been talking for some time, whether it was with Headspace or Switchboard or Drummond Street or a whole range of other well-being type approaches within the LGBTI community, that we took the view that with the new allocations of money in the state budget for LGBTI well-being, that should have a focus on mental health and support for those organisations that are leading the way there. So in response to that, we packaged it all up and spoke to the organisations involved, and we think we can do some good work in this space. We think we can do some good work regardless, but we think we can do some particularly good work if we find ourselves in the next 12 months having to battle a divisive, unnecessary and expensive Liberal Party opinion poll.
We are very pleased that the Victorian government and yourself have shown leadership in this space and opposed the plebiscite. This station, our community, is very opposed to the plebiscite because we are aware of the damaging mental health impacts
that'll
have on not only young people, but older people and their families and their friends, of course. So, look, my congratulations to the Victorian government for setting aside these funds and investing in building the support for our community. But I am very disturbed to understand that this plebiscite is still around. It actually hasn't gone away.
It's still alive. I mean, Martin, as you said, they've set aside the money and there is a... I'm glad that I'm not the Prime Minister, and I'm sure a number of other people are as well, but that the Prime Minister's in an incredibly difficult spot. He created an expectation around marriage equality, and the problem is he can't deliver it because he knows that it should be a parliamentary vote, as we all know, but he doesn't, you know, he's got nowhere to move on this.
Well, I'm sure this is but one of a range of issues where the Prime Minister, when he was a minister and he was leader of the opposition, had a separate set of views on social, environmental and other issues. Mm. And as part of getting to where he is, he's had to do a deal with some of the more extreme elements in his party and coalition room. And clearly, from reports from the National Party, that making sure that there was a plebiscite vote for marriage equality was one of those conditions, if the issue was going to be touched at all. We all know that the issue could be resolved tomorrow with a conscience vote of both houses of federal parliament, and there's every indication that this vote would be successful. And then we would be a modern, civilised, more inclusive society than we are today. We'd still have a long way to go, but it would be a major, iconic movement of decency and inclusivity that Australia should have already taken. That's a bitter disappointment to not just those who want to express their love and commitment to each other in the same way as heterosexual couples. It's a bitter disappointment to people who want a modern, progressive 21st century Australia.
It is actually extremely embarrassing when I visit or see friends from overseas who come from countries that actually do have marriage equality, who are surprised to understand that we actually don't. So, look, it's time we actually moved
on. Now, I have to say, I don't know whether you saw it, Martin, Vladimir Putin this week in an interview explained why he didn't support same-sex marriage, because it was about population. It was about, you know, populating the country, and that same-sex couples couldn't have children, and he's not anti-gay. But I think back to, there was another leader of another European country, perhaps a little bit further to the west, Germany, who said the same things. And Vladimir Putin doesn't have any sense of irony, but we're fighting a battle on rights, on equality for everyone. I want to ask you, Martin, what sort of feedback do you get, you know, in your electorate and around the traps, around some of the, you know, the initiatives that you and the government are taking? I mean, obviously you get a lot of positive, but, you know, occasionally I'm sure you get some that aren't positive. What do they say?
Increasingly, rarely so, I've got to say, Macca, but there are still a few antediluvian corners of our society that take a view that the world stopped in 1950 and can we please go back? But that's, I've got to say, increasingly rare, not just in my own community, but as I get around the state and as I get around the country. It's an issue where it touches so many people as we become a society in which we're not prepared to just say that LGBTI diversity is some hidden thing that we keep away rather than something that reflects and that we celebrate our diversity. This issue comes up everywhere. And the roadshows, for instance, that the Commissioner had done in more recent weeks, where she visited over 20 rural communities, it came up right across the state. And overwhelmingly, the response was, why are we still debating this in 2017?
Yes, it's very boring.
Isn't it just an issue of allowing people to be who they are, respecting them for that, and getting on with it? Now, that's clearly not to say that we've done away with homophobia, transphobia, and biphobia. We haven't. There are still far too many examples of that. But when it comes to a fundamental thing about saying, can we just allow people to be who they are, respect their love and commitment to each other in the same way that we do for heterosexual people, then surely in 2017, after decades of debate on this issue, after so much progress globally, we sit here in some snap-frozen 1950s view of what relationships are, and it's time it changed.
It's equally astounding that, you know, when you look at how business, corporate Australia, deals with this issue, and the changes that they make to their policies about inclusion and equality and about recognising different relationships and sexualities, that the party of business, apparently, you know, is ignoring this. I mean, I don't get it. At the end of the day, we need to make the change. The sun will still come up in the morning. The cows will still deliver milk, you know. It's not.
It shouldn't be a left right
no.
country city divide. It's just such a lack of fundamental decency and recognition of diversity that staggers me that haven't yet had the national gumption to take a very simple step.
Yes, we're all flabbergasted too, Minister, and we don't, you know, we've been debating this on air and in our, you know, around our dining tables over the last many, many years, and we're almost exhausted and browbeaten by it.
Yeah.
And, but I've got to say, from my personal point of view, and having worked with many of the organisations that are listed in these media releases, I think this is money incredibly well spent. It'll service and support the communities and enable the communities to provide the support that we all need, ultimately. And,
yeah.
And this is about preparing, it's about buttressing, it's about ensuring that we can be as protective as we possibly can in what might be a very difficult environment should this plebiscite come up again.
Indeed. And whilst we're doing that, we're also, through the support for La Trobe University and Private Lives 3, continuing that next generation of research about just what are the emerging issues coming over the horizon for an increasingly assertive and out there and strong, diverse community that we need to start thinking about the public policy forums. Let's make sure that we get the community through the marriage equality debate in the best possible well-being circumstances we can, but let's also do the preparation for the next set of issues, whether it's the Pride Centre and the celebratory nature of that, or whether it's employment, whether it's health, whether it's increasingly the role of families, and of course a whole range of different sexuality and identity issues that continue to emerge. There's so much still to be done.
It's an incredibly important piece of work. I'm quite familiar with Private Lives. I was involved in Private Lives 1 and Private Lives 2 and Private Lives 2B. Most people don't know about 2B.
Some would say he's a Private Lives junkie.
the interesting thing is that I've sat on various selection panels assessing applications for small grants, and interestingly enough, I'd say probably half of those applications referenced Private Lives 1 or 2 or 2B.
Yes.
So it's very important data that's actually helped us to understand who we are and where we're going and what the key issues are. Minister, yes. I've got a bit of feedback here from one of our listeners, the gorgeous Melina, who's a regular listener. She says, love Mr. Folley. He's always articulate and thoughtful. Great interview. So there you go. You've got a bit of a fan
there you go.
In our community.
There you go.
Thank you very much for taking a bit of time to come out and speak with us this morning. Thank you very much again on behalf of our communities for this, for these funds. I think these will go a long way
makes a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
We should let you get on with your day and get on with your weekly shopping and sporting activities.
Yes, off to netball now.
Off to netball. Okay, bye-bye.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Martin Foley, Minister for Everything, but everything that is important to our community and all diverse communities in Victoria. Just quickly, one here, Tass, well done on it, including LGBTI elders in considering the impact of the Pebbersite. Those elders just out or just transitioning are particularly vulnerable to hate speech, as are those who suffered historical hurt. That's from Catherine.
Look, I'm really pleased to hear that, because often, Macca, you know, in this debate, we're always focused on the young people.
Yes.
And, look, you know, I was at an event just recently with my partner, and out of the blue, this woman approached me who knew me, and I honestly couldn't recognise her. And she was a very dear old friend of mine who transitioned, and I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, she essentially had been preparing herself for her coming out. And here she was at the ripe age of 47 having to come out yet again. You know, it is really challenging. And what I keep on seeing often and often and over again is older people of our community who maybe have come out a little bit, but not quite, and are still living these lives that might be, you know, a bit shrouded in parts because maybe members of their family don't know, or maybe their workplace don't know that they are LGBT or I. So it is, you know, we can't forget the needs of older people as well.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.